who is outwardly a model Christian. I'm not talking now about necessarily a hypocrite. She or he may or may not be. It may be genuine, may not be. But you know somebody who is outwardly a model Christian, strong in faith, joyous in hope, loving in spirit, deep in doctrine, fervent in zeal, proper in manners, spiritual in talk, virtuous in morals, and whose presence creates a veritable summertime anytime you're with them. Can you think of somebody tonight that has that certain Christian glow? When you get around them, you may even feel a little touch of an inferiority complex because they seem to radiate the love of Christ. Their spiritual vocabulary may even embarrass you. And the way they can say, "I love Jesus," may make your love look cold in comparison. I dare say that most of you are thinking about someone right now. Someone who loves to talk about Jesus, or does. And when they do, a certain glow is on their faces, or his face, or her face. And it makes you feel about that high, spiritually, to be around them. And for somehow, you don't talk about him exactly as they talk about him. This is the kind of person our Lord is talking about when he curses the fig tree. He's climbing toward the city of Jerusalem. From a distance, he sees a tree full of leaves. And that's a startling thing, unusual for two reasons. First reason, this wasn't the season for a tree to be full of leaves. Let's suppose tonight or tomorrow morning, you wake up, 16 below zero, snow everywhere. You're driving to work and you see a tree in springtime splendor. And you look at that thing and say, "Good night, what in the world is that tree doing with leaves on it?" With it 16 below zero, snow everywhere. And that tree is standing there covered with beautiful leaves. Now, that's one reason why it was unusual. For this was not the season for fig trees to have leaves. As our Lord comes toward the city and climbs that hill, he sees that fig tree, and there's a second reason why it was unusual. It was unusual because fig trees are one unusual tree in that the fruit comes on before the leaves. Now most trees bring the leaves and then the fruit, but not the fig tree. You'll see a little something begin to bloom on a fig tree, no leaves on the trees, and that something is fruit. And about the time the figs appear, the leaves appear. The fruit always comes first. And then, by the time the fruit is ripe, the tree is covered with beautiful leaves. That's what the fig tree is all about. Our Lord looks and he sees this fig tree in bloom. He gets closer and closer to it. It's right beside the road. He can see at a distance because it's such an unusual spectacle. And he sees that tree. He walks up and examines that tree carefully, for it was next to the road. There was no fruit. Now look, again I say, he cursed it. And the Bible says that that particular tree was never to bring forth any fruit ever, ever again. And immediately upon his cursing it, the leaves withered. The disciples could see the leaves wither. Let me remind you again. Our Lord is against people not bearing fruit. But it makes it a double curse when you look like a fruit bearer, you talk like a fruit bearer, you smile like a fruit bearer, you act like a fruit bearer, you sing like a fruit bearer, you dress like a fruit bearer, and yet you are not a fruit bearer. Now our Lord, of course, was placing a curse on a fruitless life. But more than that, he was placing a curse on the hypocritical life. The life that says I'm one thing, but it's not. The life that says I'm a Christian, but I'm not really born again. The life that says I'm a dedicated Christian, but it's not really a dedicated Christian. That fruit tree, because it had leaves on it. Now, again, I say, when a tree, a fig tree, had leaves on it, it was saying, I have fruit on it. For no fig tree ever had leaves without fruit. The fruit comes first, then the leaves. Hence, every time you saw a fig tree had leaves on it, it had fruit. Here's one who had no fruit, just leaves, and our Lord is cursing not just fruitlessness, our Lord is cursing hypocrisy. Now, there's some lessons from this little story. The first one is this. We are to start on the inside of the Christian life and work it out. Not on the outside and work it in. Our Lord said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is dirty. Now our Lord is not saying what the Jesus freaks say and what this modern brand of pseudo-Christianity says. Our Lord is not saying the outside is not important, for the outside is important. It does matter how you wear your hair to God. It does matter whether you fellows get haircuts or not. It does matter that you ladies don't reveal your body sensuously. It does matter to God. It does matter. Our Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your outside ought to picture the inside. That means our Lord said the outside of the cup is dirty, or the platter, the inside is filthy. Our Lord wasn't advocating making the outside dirty to match the inside. Our Lord was advocating making the inside clean to match the outside. When he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you on the outside, your whited sepulchres, beautiful tombstone on the outside, and everything is whitewashed on the outside. But on the inside, you're like dead men's bones. Our Lord was not suggesting that they put the dead men's bones on the outside and make the outside look like the inside. Our Lord was not suggesting at all that they make the grave or tombstone look as filthy as the bones and dead flesh on the inside. Our Lord is simply saying He wants us to be clean on the outside and on the inside. He wants there to be a consistency. Now there's a dual hypocrisy. There's hypocrisy of one who has it on the outside but not on the inside. Now that's hypocrisy. You are professing to be something you're not. And that's wrong. And that's sinful. And that's what I'm preaching about tonight. But there is another hypocrisy, and that is if you do not show on the outside what's on the inside, you are equally a hypocrite. That means if you're clean on the outside, inside, look it on the outside. If you're clean on the outside, be clean on the inside. Our Lord is saying to those who act it and don't have it, to have it. He's saying to those that have it and don't act it, to act it. He's saying you ought to look like a Christian. You ought to wear your hair like a child of God. You ought to dress like a child of God. You ought to talk like a child of God. You ought to sing like a child of God. You ought to walk like a child of God. You ought to play like a child of God. You ought to behave yourself always as a child of God. And I'm sick and tired up to my nostrils. I'm sick and tired of this new born againism that says it doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you sing, doesn't matter what you drink, doesn't matter how you dress, as long as the inside's okay. Well, I serve notice on you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that if the inside's okay, the outside is going to be okay too. There's no such a thing as people saying, I've got it down here, but I don't show it. If you have it, you'll show it. Now then, if you have it, show it. If you show it, have it. That's what our Lord is saying. A dual kind of hypocrisy, neither of which pleases our God. Now God wants us to do this. He wants us to start on the inside. Get the heart right, and then get the outside right. Work on the inside, and then get the outside. Good thoughts first, and good words later. Good acts first, and good declarations later. Saved first, and baptism later. Inward peace first, and outward expression later. Alms giving first, and reputation later. I think it's wonderful to appear calm on the outside, but let me ask you a question. Are you one of those people that has a good front to put on the outside, and yet when you get alone or on the inside, there's unrest and misery and a war going on? Now I know what somebody's going to say. Well, I'm just not going to be a hypocrite. I'll tell you, if it's bad on the inside, I'm tired of putting on a front. That's not what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm not trying to say make the outside as bad as the inside. I'm saying make the inside as good as the outside. I'm not talking about deteriorating on the outside in an effort to make it equal to the inside deterioration. I'm saying get right with God on the inside so you'll look on the outside what you are on the inside. It's wonderful to love the Lord. It's wonderful to express that love. It's wonderful to say Jesus is wonderful. It's great to talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more. That's wonderful. Our Lord is saying that's good. But He said if you talk about Him on the outside with a hypocritical kind of pasty love for Jesus, that's not what He wants. He wants the heart to love Him. He wants the heart to leap with joy at the very thought of Jesus Christ. And then the outside expressions will be typical expressing the condition of the inside. I think it's wonderful to talk the vocabulary. It's wonderful to say blessed Jesus if you think He's blessed in your heart. It's wonderful, I think, to carry the word in your hand. But it's more wonderful to carry it both in the heart and in the hand. You know, there are certain Christians like this, and I think they're Christians, like this fig tree. They're out of season. They have no fruit, but they have the lingo. They talk a good game. They dress like a good Christian. They sing like a good Christian. Their vocabulary is like a good Christian. And yet the truth is, on the inside, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no satisfaction, there's no serenity, and the outside does not express what's on the inside. There are those, I think, and I'm not going to tell you who they are because I don't know who they are, and I'm not trying to get you to sit in judgment tonight on somebody you think has more talk than they do walk, and more blow than they do go, and more profession than they do possession. That's wrong. In fact, it'd make you a hypocrite for you to sit in judgment on them. But in case you're here tonight, and you know what you are, you appear to be something on the outside. You appear to love Jesus. You appear to be sweet and gracious and kind and zealous and wonderful. And yet on the inside, there's criticism and hatred and bitterness and coldness and deadness. I'm saying that's hypocritical, and you're the one our Lord Jesus is talking about here. Now, strange thing about this, too. These people always stand out. They always look a bit different from others and stand out. Now, it's not time for the trees to have leaves, but this tree had leaves. It's not time for the trees to be obvious, but this tree was obvious. But not only that, this tree was right beside the road so folks could see it. And this kind of Christian our Lord is talking about is the kind that wants to be seen. They want you to hear them talking about how much they love Jesus. They want you to see them with their piety. They want you to notice their good spirit. They want to have a reputation of having joy. Let me tell you something tonight. I want to have a reputation of having joy, but 10,000 times more than that, I want to have joy. I'm glad for folks to say about me, boy, that Hiles enjoys his Christianity, and I want you to say it, but 10,000 times, I want to enjoy my Christianity. I want to talk about peace, and I want you to think I have peace, but brother, the big thing I want to do is have it. Have it. And let the inside possess what the outside professes. This type of person often seeks the highest room, aspires to the highest office, seeks to appear the most pious. They're at the roadside where they're easy to be seen, and they want to be the prettiest of all. They'd like to be at Hiles Anderson College known as the sweetest person on campus. They'd like to be known at Hiles Anderson College as the finest, warmest Christian on campus. They'd like to be known as one of the more spiritual people on campus. Now, you forget how you're known, forget and think of what you are. You love Jesus. Listen, Jesus is not concerned about how folks think about how much you love Him. He's concerned about you loving Him. I'm not saying stop your vocabulary. I'm not saying quit acting pious. I'm not saying quit talking about Jesus. I'm simply saying what you act on the outside, you be on the inside. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about a genuine, from the inside out, 100% real, real, sincere, genuine, non-hypocritical Christianity that is here in the heart. And then because it is in the heart, it's shown on the outside. Our Lord placed a curse on this tree. By the way, all over America, you will find these people. You will find them talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You will find them talking about love. And a lot of folks talking about love don't have any love. A lot of liberals, they'll talk about, boy, we need love. And the truth is, those very liberal preachers hate the fundamentalists with a passion. Talk about love. I'm talking about having it, not talking about it. Feeling it, not talking about it. Possessing it, not talking about it. Now, once you possess it, talk about it. But be sure you talk about it before you possess it. Now, I say this. The real you will come out. The real you will come out. You've heard me tell this before. When Dave was still in Munster High School, one day he said, Dad, Munster's playing a basketball game tonight. Would you take me to the basketball game? And I said, Doc, I can't. I'm writing a book. It's that book called Heil's Church Manual. I said, I'm just about to get it finished. I've got another chapter or so to dictate. I've got to proofread a big stack of it. And son, I just can't take you to the game tonight. And Dave said, oh, come on, Dad. Take me to the game. He said, he hadn't taken me to the game in a long time. I said, Doc, I'll make you a deal. I'll take you to the game if you let me take my dictaphone machine in my pocket here and work on the book during halftime and during timeouts. And I'll take my book and I'll proofread it some and dictate some. Now he said, Dad, don't embarrass me. He said, they'll see you up there with that machine and thing and you'll embarrass. I said, no, son, I won't embarrass you. I promise you. I'll be a good boy. I'll watch the game. But during the halftime, I'll put my mouth like this and I'll dictate the book, part of the book, and I'll also proofread it. And Dave said, now, Dad, okay, but don't embarrass me. And I said, son, I promise you, I'll not embarrass you. We went to the game. It was a very boring game. Till about the last 5 minutes. The term boring game is a Greek term that means we're losing. And so we were 15 points behind, about 5 minutes left. And our team scored a couple of baskets and we got 11 points behind. And then we got the ball, they missed, we got it, we scored a basket, we're 9 points behind. About 3 minutes to play, we got the ball, they couldn't score, and we scored, we're 7 points behind. I suddenly put my dictaphone machine down and started looking at the game a little more carefully. We got another basket. We're 5 points behind. A couple minutes to play. We got a chance to win this crazy game. So we intercepted the ball, scored again. We're 3 points behind. About a minute to play. Praise the Lord. Man, I didn't care if I was writing a book or not. And Bobby Stout got the ball and intercepted the pass, dribbled down, jump shot, and now we're 1 point behind with 15 seconds to go. Man alive, on the edge of my seat. Come on! Hey! Come on! Come on! Everybody was hollering that. I wasn't embarrassing Dave. Everybody's screaming. With just about 5 seconds, we got the ball. They passed the ball to Bobby Stout. He dribbled down the court. He shot. The ball was in the air. And the gun went off. If the ball goes in, we win by 1 point. If the ball does not go in, you just sit there and wait. I'll tell you after a while what happened. If the ball does not go in, we lose by 1 point. The ball is in the air. The basket is waiting. The crowd is watching. I'm wondering. Dave is wondering. You're wondering. And right while the gun went off, ball in the air, swish, the ball went through the basket, and we won by 1 point. I did not know who I was or where I was. I just jumped up and as loud as I could holler, and as you know, that's right loud, I said, Amen! Dave said, come on, Dad, let's go home. You see, the real you is going to come out. It's down here. You say, why did you holler Amen? Because everywhere I go, that's what they holler, is Amen. I didn't know what they said at basketball games. When I was a kid, we used to cheer ox skin, pig skin, any kind of leather. We can lick the buffaloes in any kind of weather. or Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, any kind of pop. We can lick the bulldogs and any kind of slop. We had a lot of ideas like that. And but I don't know what to holler. Whether it's rah, 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 whoopee, yay, yay, hot dog. I don't know what to holler. I just know where I went, they hollered amen. And so, now I tried to do well. I didn't want to embarrass thee. I didn't want his friends to say, there's that reverend, there with his son. I didn't want him. But when I forgot, the real me came out, and I said, amen! Now see, you've got to get what's inside, because what's inside is going to come out. You know, listen, forgive me for saying it, but the reason you fellows got long hair is because you got long hair in your heart. Reason you gals wear your indecent clothing, got indecent heart, a rebellious heart. Why? Because the inside will eventually show itself on the outside. You can live a lie for a while, but you can't live a lie all the time. And the real you is going to come out. And our Lord walked down, he saw that fig tree, he saw those leaves, he walked up, he examined, there's no fruit, and he said to the, concerning that tree, he said other trees don't have any fruit, but it's not season to bear fruit. But you say you have fruit. Your leaves say you have fruit. And your appearance and foliage say you have fruit. And you look like you have fruit. And you're saying to all passers-by, you have fruit. And he said, you haven't got any fruit. I'm going to see to it that the outside looks like the inside. He placed a curse on the fig tree. And I want to say tonight, listen to me. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants your inside clean. Now I say again, I'm not concerned about trying to give an invitation. Not all you folks that clean outside come down the aisle and get dirty inside, so it'll go with your dirty outside, it'll go with your dirty inside. I'm talking about you folks who have a dirty inside. Ask God to clean it up and be clean and decent and right and sincere on the inside. Now there's a second thing here, and that is this. Our Lord is saying, be sure, if you look like you're born again, you're born again. There is somebody in this choir tonight who is not saved. I do not know who she is or who he is, but there's somebody up here who's not saved, who will die and go to hell if they don't take care of it right away. You say, preacher, why do you know that? Because my Bible says that our Lord Jesus said the tares grow with the wheat. They look like the wheat. You cannot tell them from wheat. And they look so much like the wheat, our Lord says we're not even supposed to separate them, because the angels will come in the end time and separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, so, everywhere you find wheat, and here's a wheat field right here, there is a tare somewhere in this choir. There's somebody sitting in this choir tonight who's not been born again, who's going to hell, who's lost. And in God's name, get out of the choir at invitation time. Come down the aisle. Get on your knees and get born again before you go home tonight. There's somebody on our deacon board who's not saved. I don't know who it is. We have 107 men on our deacon board. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says the devil puts the tares where the wheat are. Wheat is. So where you have the wheat, you have the tares. So if we have a deacon board of wheat, we have somebody that's a tare on the deacon board. There's some Sunday school teachers in the First Baptist Church of Hammond who are not saved. You're not born again. You're on your way to hell. If Jesus came tonight, you would never in this world or the world to come have a chance to get born again. And you're a tare. I don't know who you are, but I know you're there. Why? Because the Bible says that the devil sows the tares among the wheat. There are folks in this section right here tonight who are not born again. How do I know? The Bible says the tares are sown among the wheat. There's somebody in this section right here. And this one, 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 and that one, who's not born again. You belong to the church. You have a name on the church roll. You teach a Sunday school class. You sing in the choir. You do a good job for your neighbors. You give your tithe. You come on Sunday morning. You come on Sunday night. You come on Wednesday night. But you're not born again. Why? Because the Bible says the tares are sown among the wheat. Jesus comes and says, make your possession equal to your profession. He says, look, little fruit tree, if you're going to have leaves, you get you some figs. Because the figs come before the leaves. Tonight, may I say, our Lord Jesus comes, and our Lord says, if you say you are saved, get saved. In God's name, don't live a lie. Don't sit there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and take a chance on your never dying soul plunging into torments forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But you sit for the house, it'd be embarrassing. I teach a class at Hammond Baptist High School. I'm a school teacher at the grade school, junior high. I'm on the faculty at Howells Anderson College. I don't care. It'll be a lot more embarrassing one day when you stand before God Almighty at the great white throne judgment than God reads your name and your name is not written in the book of life and you're cast into outer darkness forever and ever and ever and ever and the whole universe finds out that you were not born again. It'd be 10,000 times better tonight in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people to walk down this aisle and get born again and become reality. And then you can sing, it's real, it's real, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. Give me an old-fashioned, real experience with God. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. Reality. Jesus said, you little fig tree, you got your outside. The other fig trees, they don't have any leaves, but they don't have any fruit. At least they are consistent. They have no fruit, they have no leaves. They have no leaves, they tell you, we have no fruit because we have no leaves. But you say, I have fruit, when you have no fruit because you have your leaves. He said, I'll place a curse on you, and you will never bear another piece of fruit as long as you live. And God's curse is on you. I was thinking about this afternoon, don't know why. Can you imagine how Judas Iscariot must have felt? He heard these words. This unsaved apostle, this apostate apostle, he heard these words. He heard our Lord take that fig tree and say, you have no fruit, you're not real, I'll curse you. Can you imagine how Judas Iscariot must have felt? This one of the chosen 12, who back yonder years before when John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came clothed with sackcloth, camel's hair, eating locust and wild honey, preaching reality. When the insincere professors would come down the aisle, if he knew about it, he'd turn and say, go back where you came from. Don't you walk down this aisle unless you mean it. Judas Iscariot heard about John the Baptist coming to town. His fame spread abroad everywhere. Everybody was going to hear this itinerant evangelist, this new fella, talking about Jesus coming, pointing to him and said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And Judas Iscariot went to hear him preach. And there beat a conviction that night in his breast. And Judas Iscariot said, I need to be saved. Other folks walked down the aisle. He walked down the aisle. He did not repent of his sins. He did not put his faith in Christ. He did not mean it. He just came because somebody else came. He walked the aisle because his friend walked the aisle. I'm sure the Lord Jesus, or John the Baptist, pardon me, walked down and said, sir, are you receiving Jesus Christ and putting your trust in the coming Messiah and trusting what he did for you on the cross to save your sins? And Judas Iscariot said, yes, I am. But he wasn't. He knew he wasn't saved. John the Baptist stood up and read his name maybe and said, this young man, Judas Iscariot, is trusting Jesus tonight. I'm sure something in the breast of Judas Iscariot said, stand up and tell him you're not sincere. Tell him now! Listen. Every time you put off admitting your hypocrisy, you are making it infinitely more difficult to ever get saved. John the Baptist didn't. And then he was baptized in the Jordan. And as the hands of that Baptist preacher touched his neck and buried him in the likeness of the death of Christ and raised him to walk in newness of life, I'm sure as his hand was raised, if they did in those days, and John the Baptist said whatever they said then to compare with, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Something inside Judas Iscariot said, now then, tell him, stop the baptism, and say, John, I'm not really saved. I didn't get born again. I'm not going to heaven. I've got to settle it. But pride kept him from doing it. His old, wicked, fleshly pride did not want to admit his name was on the church roll, but not in the Lamb's Book of Life. He did not do it, and he was buried an unsaved sinner and rose an unsaved sinner. And may I say once again, as I've said so often, bless God, you can be baptized in this tank right here till you grow fins between your toes. But you will die and go to hell if you didn't get born again before you did. You've got to come to Christ and have Christ to make you new. And never let it be said, this church believes anything less than the old-fashioned doctrine of the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God in response to believing faith in Christ. John the Baptist baptized him. And then there came the day when our Lord Jesus announced the 12 chosen 12. He stood before a crowd, no doubt, and said, I've chosen these 12. And in that 12, he listed Judas Iscariot, who was not born again. I can imagine, I see when Judas Iscariot was ordained to preach the gospel, when our Lord Jesus laid his hands on him and chose him as one of the 12. I think I see his mother and father sitting there in the service, proud of their son. I think I see his brothers and sisters sitting down close to the front. I think I see a tear rolling down his mother's cheek. I think I see a moistened eye on his dad, and certainly a proud father who looks and says, my son, Judas Iscariot, is one of the 12 outstanding Christians on the face of the earth, chosen to preach the gospel and walk the paths with the Lord Jesus himself. And the hands of Jesus reached down to lay on Judas Iscariot. Something pierced his breast. And Judas said to himself, I'm not saved. I ought to tell it. And something said, Judas, get up and say, folks, I've been baptized, but I'm not saved. I've joined the church, but I'm not saved. I've made profession, but I'm not saved. Judas said, what do they think about me? What do they think about me? They'll say I'm a fool. Man alive, he's one of the 12. He's one of the top Christians. Listen, I don't care if you're on this platform tonight. If you're not saved, get saved. I don't care if you're a deacon. Get saved. Don't let your pride send you to hell. Don't let your facade to cause your soul to burn in hell fire someday. And John the Baptist said, Judas Iscariot said, I'll do it. I'll do it now. Folks, never mind. Never mind. And then he began preaching. He himself gave invitations. He himself saw miracles transpire. He himself was one of the 12 outstanding preachers in the entire world. I imagine time and time again he gave an invitation and folks began streaming down those aisles after he had preached the sermon. I imagine something said, Judas, tell them now. Tell them now. Stop the service and tell them, I have not been saved. Leave the pulpit and go down to the front and say, I have not been saved. Tell them! And I'm sure night after night and day after day, something beat in the breast of Judas Iscariot that said, do it! Do it! Do it! But his pride kept him from it. And then one day they decided to choose the most trusted of all the 12 to take care of the records, finances. I know whom we'll choose, someone said. Most trustworthy one of us is Judas Iscariot. Let him carry the books. He's concerned about money. He knows money. He knows bookkeeping. Let him carry the books. Our Lord Jesus Christ took those books over and handed those records to Judas Iscariot and took that money and handed that money to Judas Iscariot. Our Lord Jesus said, Judas, here's the money. Here are the records. You're the treasure. Something inside Judas said, now's the time to do it. Don't put it off any longer. Now. 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 And Judas said, Lord, what is it, Judas? Never mind. Never mind. He's getting so far gone and so much deeper and deeper and deeper into hypocrisy. He's saved. I'm sorry, professed it, but not saved. He's baptized, but not saved. He preaches, but not saved. He's an apostle, but not saved. He's the treasure, but not saved. And then came that sober, sacred hour. And he joined those others in the upper room for a while. And in those last moments, he heard our Lord's voice. He tiptoes to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord is praying alone. I hear him pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Judas Iscariot says, I'll show you which one he is. You give me the 30 pieces of silver. I'll kiss the one who's the Messiah. I'll kiss the one who's Jesus. Judas Iscariot It's amazing how hard you can get after you lived a lie so long. It's amazing how far you can get from admitting your loss when you've lived a lie so long. And I'm sure as Judas Iscariot puckered his lips to place his lips on the brow of the Savior to betray him, I'm sure something said Judas, now. And Judas stopped to think for a moment. I think I'll do it now. I'll fall down his feet and say, Jesus, when I walked the aisle for John, I wasn't saved. When John baptized me, I wasn't saved. When you chose me as apostle, I wasn't saved. When you chose me as treasure, I wasn't saved. Jesus, I'm going to get saved. Oh, my blessed friend, don't you wait. But your soul is burning in hell before you decide you're going to admit that you weren't born again. Jesus placed his strongest curse. You know, our Lord has less respect tonight for you unsaved deacons than he has for those folks unsaved down at the tavern on Soul Street. Do you hear me? Did you know you unsaved Sunday school teachers are going to burn in hell hotter than the pimp that walks down the street in Calumet City? He doesn't say he's a Christian. He doesn't have his leaves out. You have your leaves out. You have a Scofia Bible. That's a leaf that says you're a Christian. You have your name on a church roll. That's a leaf that says you're a Christian. You look like a Christian. You dress like one. You talk like one. You sing like one. You give like one. All decked out with your leaves. Our Lord Jesus says that's a greater sin, a wickeder crime than those who have no leaves at all. At least their profession and their possession are consistent. There's a third thing our Lord teaches us here. And that is, Jesus is looking for fruit first and leaves later. Your fruit is your ticket to shout. Your fruit is your ticket to talk about Jesus. I'm not concerned about a bunch of folks never win a soul to Christ shouting at my meetings. I'm not concerned about that. Jesus is simply saying, let me see your fruit and then let me see your leaves. It's a permit to the Bible. It's a permit to look like it. And then our Lord sees this tree. He walks up and he looks for fruit. Now, most of you look like good Christians tonight. You sit here, you're in church on Sunday night. It's below zero right now outside and going to get 16 below after a while. I see a leaf in that. You have in your hand a Bible. You brought your Bible to church and you weren't ashamed of it. I see a leaf there. You're modest in your apparel and proper in your behavior. I see some leaves there. You even serve God like Judas did. Perhaps as a preacher or a teacher, a school teacher, a Sunday school teacher. I see some leaves there. You tithe. I see some leaves there. You come to church on Wednesday night. That's good. I see some leaves there. But our Lord says, he's not hunting for leaves. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the first Adam came to a fig tree looking for leaves. The second Adam came to a fig tree looking for fruit. How does your possession measure up to your profession? You know, one reason sometimes I start a sermon off sort of slowly is because I want to start it off exactly what's in here. I never force being loud. Never. I don't feel like being loud, I'm quiet. I don't holler. I don't have any points in word down there. Holler loud here. Weak argument. I don't have that in my outline. I want the volume of my voice to be exactly consistent with the intensity of my soul. How about you? That smile. That vocabulary of Jesus talk. Does it go all the way down? Or is it to impress somebody? Good morning, Dr. Evans. Isn't Jesus wonderful? It's okay with me if you think he's wonderful. But if you want to get a few brownie points with Dr. Evans, you're the one he's talking about. I love you, Mr. Moffat. I love you. Now, if I love him, that's wonderful. But since I don't, if I don't, I'm going to wait till I do before I tell him. Because I'm not as concerned about him thinking I love him as I am loving him. There are two types of hypocrites in this room tonight. There are those who have it, but you don't want the world to think you have it, so you cover it. You wouldn't want anybody to think you belong to First Baptist Church, would you? So keep your long hair. That way nobody will think it outside the church. Yeah. Don't dress like we preach. Folks might think you have something. Brother, if you got it, show it. Show it. The second hypocrite, that fellow shows it, doesn't have it. And our Lord Jesus said, I'd rather you wouldn't have the leaves on the tree than to have leaves and no fruit. Now follow me. Every other fig tree, every other fig tree that had no leaves or fruit bore fruit again. There was a day when those trees that were bare of leaves began to have little knobs on the end. And from those knobs came figs. And as those figs formed, leaves began to open. And that which had not borne fruit is now bearing fruit. But that tree that had the leaves and didn't have the fruit has not till this day had one more fig on its branches. Why? I'll tell you why. Our Lord detests! Detests hypocrisy. Detests it. Especially that professing that you have Christ and looking like it and acting like it and talking like it. But you've never yet sincerely and earnestly been born